On the deck of a deluxe mobile home, a group of friends gather for a week-long party full of cocktail-infused debauchery, bad dancing, and questionable gender politics. This is the setting for a reimagined version of Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing from Rough Magic. It will be staged as part of the Kilkenny Arts Festival next month, and I'm joined in studio by the director Ronan Phelan and the actor Claire Barrett. Ronan, for those of us who may not be so familiar with Much Ado About Nothing, can you not tell us the whole plot, but at least set the plot up?
The plot begins when a group of soldiers arrive back from a successful military campaign, and they stop off at a friend's abode, in this case the mobile home, for a month of relaxation and well-earned rest and festivities. And while they're there, two of these soldiers fall for two of the women who live at the house. Benedict and Beatrice resume a kind of quarrelsome flirtation that they've had in the past, and Claudio and Hero fall head over heels in love. And before long, crisis arises.
Yes, bad things happen.
Yes, they do.
So it's set in modern day times and it's set in a mobile home.
Yes.
Whereas we're used to, well, if people have seen, let's say, the Kenneth Branagh version,
yes,
which is all these beautiful tanned movie stars,
yeah,
in the Tuscan hills, we're not there.
We're not there. No, I was keen to set the play in Ireland. I really like hearing Shakespeare in Irish accents. I see no need for any others. And also, it's a psychological play. I mean, it marks a shift in Shakespeare's writing away from your dad opposing your marriage to people having their own internal conflicts about why they can't yield to another person or commit to them. And so it felt like we would have better access to the characters if it was set in a situation that we all recognised.
Now, Claire, you're playing the part of Leonata, which is traditionally a male role, and he was, well, you're the mother of the piece. You're the mother of Hero, who is the beautiful woman in the piece.
Exactly.
And are you the owner of the mobile home?
I'm the owner. It is my holiday home.
Right, OK.
And while it might not be in Tuscany, we are equally tanned, please God, if the weather gets better. No, it's set in my, what would seem to me, what I would like to think is my summer home. We're thinking west of Ireland now, maybe around the Kilkee area. That, and it is my pride and joy, kept very well maintained, and I would be familiar with the soldiers through friendship. We're kind of, as a backstory, thinking my husband would have been a soldier back in the day. And so I invite them when they come to call in, I invite them to stay for the month. They've had a victorious time while abroad at war. They've lost nobody. Nobody has died. So it's a big chance to celebrate. And also I'm trying to set up my daughter, which is a very...
Right.
Thing.
And Beatrice is also under your roof,
Beatrice,
is she?
Beatrice is my niece, yeah. And would be much older than Hero. Hero is, we would think, late teens. And then Beatrice would be pushing the ends of 20s, early 30s.
Right. And deception plays quite a role in Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes.
For good and for evil at
yes.
times.
Yes. I mean, people are very protective of their identities in the play, and they are very keen to control how other people perceive them. They want to be seen in a particular light, and they go out of their way to try and make that happen. And then at the same time, deception is happening because one of the characters is agitated by the frivolity that he sees around him, and he's quite a nihilistic character, and he sets about constructing a lie which he hopes will bring about the end of Claudio and Hero's relationship. So there's lots of different forms of deception that's happening.
And what role does your matriarch play in this?
Well, so the character, as you know, would have been a man, and the mother of Hero originally, when it was written back in the 1500s, was... she was there, but she said nothing. So it's very funny that, and it's a great gift from Ronan to be allowed to look at it from a different way. The lines are very different from your King Lear or whatever. It's not about order. It's about, Leonata, the lines haven't changed. We've just changed the gender of uncle to aunt, nothing else from the difference. And but the lines are very much about this, as we're talking about an identity. So my identity as a mother, my identity of in social standing, about if I get my daughter married, what I can do for the future, or the shame shame that if my daughter doesn't marry the marry right, or my niece doesn't marry others. So those are the kind of the as the matrix, she's the host also of the party, so that's playing a field. But then how those things fall down when the deception happens is what's most interesting, actually. And it's kind of funny when you read them now from a female perspective, you are thinking, God, how could it have ever been a man who said that? Because it seems to mean more, but I presume that's just what we put on it ourselves. But we're hoping that the audience will like that shift in gender, because I think they'll recognise it. It's certainly very recognisable.
And you've played Shakespeare before. You've done Druid Shakespeare, for example. So you're used to using the Irish accent doing Shakespeare. Yeah. And do you find that a comfortable fit?
I absolutely do. And we worked with a lovely man from the Globe who teaches in the Juilliard, now, when we were doing Druid Shakespeare, and he loves the nuances of the Irish accent. And when Shakespeare was done, it was done much more in regional accents. I mean, we know the Shakespeare as being this very much what they call RP, received pronunciation, but that's not how it was performed back in the day. And now you can see, if you visit the Globe, if anybody has seen it, more and more regional accents sneaking in, you know. And when I first saw Shakespeare, it was Footspar and Theatre Company, and they were from all over the world. Different French accents, you know, Irish accents, English accents, and it was this myriad, and nobody ever tried to hide it. And I think that's what life is. It's a mixture of things. So the Irish accent is really beautiful to hear within it. Like, it carries the rhythm and the cadence of it.
Two characters I think that people who know Much Ado About Nothing are Beatrice and Benedict.
Yes.
Because they have this ongoing, do they like each other or do they hate each
yes.
other? But they have wonderful tussles, like verbal tussles.
Yeah, it's called a merry war in the play between the two of them. I think that they love to hate each other. They've had a relationship in the past, which didn't go great. We suspect that Benedict maybe pulled a fast one and ran out on Beatrice, and as a result, she has no time for him whatsoever. I think both of them are trying to protect each other. I think, you know, Benedict's kind of afraid to fail in the situation, doesn't quite think that he stands up to the challenge of loving somebody. And Beatrice, I think, doesn't want to be hurt again. So, and yet, both are the most kind of dazzlingly intelligent within the play. They both find spark that they find with nobody else when they get to kind of engage in those verbal spats.
And Ronan, the setting, what will the setting be in Kilkenny?
We'll be playing at the Quad at St. Kieran's College in Kilkenny. So we're St. Kieran's kind of looks a little like Hogwarts when you come into it immediately. And then when you wrap around, the Quad is the centre of the school. So there's buildings on three sides, the stars overhead, and we'll be performing Shakespeare below.
Sounds wonderful. My thanks to Ronan Phelan and Claire Barrett. Much Ado About Nothing premieres at the Kilkenny Arts Festival on August the 8th and tours this November. More details at kilkennyarts.ie and roughmagic.ie.